WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that. But
we have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome to Monday Night Talk. We are coming to you live from Campanelli Stadium in Brockton, fondly known to some as the Camp. My name is Kevin Tachi, and we got a great show for you this evening. We have some of the finest folks in and around the area. We'll kind of keep it to this area, as we like to do whenever we are out and about on the road. After we check in with George Brown to see what's happening out on the roadways, we are going to speak with State Representative Michelle Dubois and State Senator Mike Brady. I will tell you, I did reach out to the whole group. There she is. One of our guests are here. We are live. So please find yourself a comfortable spot, State Representative Michelle Dubois here. And I did actually extend the offer to all of Brockton's legislative delegation. Unfortunately, a couple of the folks already had things that they were scheduled for, but did say next time we are in Brockton broadcasting live, they will stop in and be in front of the microphone to chat. But we are going to speak with the state rep and the state senator about the budget that was just passed by the conference committee that is now sitting on the governor's desk, awaiting whether he's going to make some moves, some vetoes. Maybe he might sign it and move it forward into the fiscal year 2018. Talk a little bit about funding for education and the newest moves regarding modifying the recreational marijuana law and much more. I'm going to speak with Todd Marlin. Todd is the Senior Vice President and General Manager of the Brockton Rocks. And we'll get an idea as to what's going on with the Brockton Rocks, challenges of being a part of the Futures Collegiate Baseball League, and get an idea of some of the promotions. Tonight, if you happen to be coming to the stadium, it's Take Your Pet to the Park Night. And we're going to have an opportunity to meet the pet of the week. If you're listening to the South Shore Morning News earlier today, you had a chance to learn a little bit about Rupert. Guess what? I get to meet Rupert tonight. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a half a second. But in the second hour, we will speak with a group of city councilors. We will speak with Dennis Aneri, Paul Studinski, and then at-large councilor Wynn Fowell. And late addition to the lineup is Council President Bob Sullivan, I guess, is going to be joining us. So we look forward to chatting with them about a number of city-related items. And then we are going to be speaking with some of the folks from the Animal Protection Center of Southeastern Mass. They are actually here on the concourse this evening with some pets. And like I said, I'm going to have a chance to meet Rupert, the pet of the week. Also get an idea of what the mission of the APCSM is. And also learn, you know what, the shelter is more than just dogs and cats. So we're looking forward to that. Now, before we move into traffic, a gentleman who is here getting ready, gathering all his notes for the Brockton Rocks broadcast, we have Rob Marcello. He is joining me. He is a member of the Brockton Rocks family. How are you doing, Rob?
Good. How are you?
Speak right into that microphone so the boys and girls
are good. How are you?
Pretty good. Is this your first time on live radio?
It is not.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about the ballpark, folks who may or may not know about Campanelli Stadium.
Well, Campanelli Stadium is a great place to watch a baseball game. It's a good family event for a lot of people to come here. We have Friday night fireworks. We have Thirsty Thursdays. We have Sunday afternoon baseball. So it's just a great place to watch baseball.
And what's your function here? You're part of the broadcast team, aren't you?
So I'm a part of the broadcast team. I'm the head. Here I run everything from the setup of the game to calling the game and then breaking everything down at the end of the game. So it's definitely a great opportunity as a college student to be able to show my talents here, especially in Brockton.
And what's even better here is that you're going to be calling the game tonight as the Rocks are going to be taking on the Martha's Vineyard Sharks, coming off of a fantastic win last night. So
yep.
We'll look forward to hopefully chatting with you more throughout the evening if
Absolutely.
You have a chance to pop
Absolutely.
In. Here is Rob Marcello, if you get a chance. Check him out. BrocktonRocks.com is the way for them to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. All right, there he is. Thank you very much, Rob.
Hey, Mallory. Remember that summer we spent almost every weekend in New Hampshire? Tax-free New Hampshire. Gotta love it. That summer was the best.
Jeffrey, the summer we spent almost every weekend on Horseneck Beach? You know I'm a beach girl, and Horseneck is absolutely gorgeous. That summer was definitely the best.
What? Mallory, the summer we went to all the concerts was way better. Aldine, Chesney, Summer Jam, the Sox games. That summer was the best.
Jeffrey, that summer was fun, but not the best. I think last summer was the best. Just hanging around the house with the kids, filling the pool in the backyard. That summer was the best.
Last summer was the best.
Last summer was the best.
Oh, what about that summer Hurricane Irene blew away our wedding day?
Not the best summer.
Well, let's just say summer is the best.
Summer is the best.
Brennan Smoke Shop, wishing you the best summer ever.
That summer before we had kids?
That was the best. That summer was the best.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right, we're back here live from the Camp Campanelli Stadium in Brockton. That's where Monday Night Talk is broadcasting this evening. And joining us right now is State Representative Michelle Dubois. How are you, Representative?
Hi, Kevin. Nice to be here with you and Bob.
Now, I will tell you is that Senator Brady, I believe, is going to be here, but he actually is tending to something. He told me that he's going to try to pop in during the time segment, so he can
That's
at least...
That's what he told me, too.
Yep. A little bit of housekeeping at home, and says that he will, in fact, be here, so we're looking forward to that. Let's kind of jump right into things. So it was... You guys were all huddled in to vote on Friday.
Right.
After the budget came out from the conference committee.
Exactly.
How easy of a process was it?
Well, really, the budget process started last year, to be honest with you. Figuring out last session was my first session, so I really monitored the two budgets that I went through. The first budget I went through was kind of like a daze because it started just months after I was elected to office. So this session, I was going into my third budget. I knew the areas of the budget that I was really going to lobby on: local aid, education, public safety, services for those most vulnerable, disabled people, senior citizens, and the special earmarks, which are pretty low dollar items relative to the $40.2 billion budget for my district that I wanted. I asked for 9 and we got 3. 2 in my district and 1 for the broader Brockton area, which was $225,000 for Brockton Public Schools, which is not going to close the $16 million funding gap, but Brockton Public Schools got $171.5 million. And that was Brockton Public Schools, $171.5 million. And then just more than $20 million in unrestricted aid. And so for earmarks, I got $75,000 for McKinley Park. My first session, I got $35,000 from McKinley Park, and they're going to be putting in basketball courts next month. So we're going to have a groundbreaking, and we're going to do a little 3-on-3 when it's opened. The whole park is going to cost around $300,000. So this $75,000, if the governor doesn't 9C cut it, last budget cycle, I got $35,000 from McKinley Park, 20 $20,000 for a summer program, and they both got cut, 9C cut by the governor. Mm. So it's a little, like, we got these things in the budget, but they could be 9C cut, which is this unilateral authority that's granted to the governor of Massachusetts if certain benchmarks and revenue aren't hitting what we had projected. He has the authority to cut the budget without any legislative override possibility.
So just entering the room is the gentleman is going to be my co-host during the evening. Bob Hayes is hanging out, as well as Rob Marcello is still here hanging out. And Rob, if you have any questions in regards to what we're talking about, feel free to to lean in and ask the representative. Representative
right.
is all over this, so feel free to.
So, Rob, I'm sorry I called you Bob.
It's okay.
And hi, Bob. I'm dressed casually because I'm going to go jogging after this, so please excuse my casual attire.
That's all good. That's all good stuff.
You're amongst friends, and again, you're listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD, heard worldwide, 959WATD.com, as we are live from Campanelli Stadium in Brockton, and we are speaking with the State Representative Michelle Dubois. Talk to me, you mentioned it already in regards to funding. We know that the revenue projections that came in did not meet expectation. They were kind of lower than expected. So what happens now?
$700 million they wound up cutting from the House budget that we had approved and the Senate budget that was approved in conference committee, which is the first time that's happened to me. But again, I'm going into my third budget at the State House. I had done 10 budgets as a city councilor, but you know, the state budget is $40.2 billion and the city's budget is what, just over $400 million now. So it's a little different, but you know, a budget is a budget, and it's a big one. There were some changes that have been proposed that are troubling to me that I'm looking into, a couple around the adult foster program or the adult family program, which helps people that have in-home care providers so they don't have to go to a nursing home, that are slightly disabled or significantly disabled, and it pays care providers $24 a day if the person is like a level one disability and $54 a day if the person is a level two disability. And the governor changed how a person qualifies for the level one disability, and that has 10 people kicked off already of these services, and another 10 people who are disabled and don't live with family members that should be kicked off, but they're afraid to make these people homeless. So some of the changes and definitions are a little scary.
And now I can say that we have a little bit of balance here now, because we have a member of the Senate who is here, but I don't want to hog all the questions here. Mr. Hayes, would you like a question, or Mr. Marcello, do you want to ask a question?
I'm all set. He can go.
Okay.
It's been said, Michelle, that the budget cutting done by the governor is too extreme, especially where it comes to the funding of education.
I'm going to stop you. I'm going to let you ask the senator that question, seeing that he just arrived here.
Okay.
Ask him, and then the representative can answer the question.
Senator Brady, it's been said that the governor's cuts are too extreme when it comes to education. There was some funding. I know that you signed some legislation or a bill to be brought up last year, and it brought the per pupil spending reimbursement to $55. I know that you co-sponsored that with Josh Cutler and Jeff Deal, and it got signed and done, and I understand it's been cut to $30. And it affects each school district differently, and Brockton is a big district. So
that's absolutely correct. It's been very difficult. We are working, and we got a great team from the delegation working together. Unlike what you hear at the federal level, where Republicans and Democrats don't get along, in Massachusetts, we get along very well and we work well together. And even though the governor's a Republican, doesn't mean he doesn't work with us. But the thing is, the funding mechanisms have been devastated for our communities. And I did sign on to that bill that Josh Cutler sponsored, and I was a co-sponsor with a couple of other legislators. We also tried to get some more funding for the city of Brockton, which got hit with two things. One was the charter school, that our test scores in Brockton are above the state average, that we don't have to accept a charter school. They're doing very well, and we have a great school system here in Brockton. Every year, this for-profit charter school tries to come into Brockton. The towns around the social Randolph school system is in need of other alternative learning mechanisms. So if anyone needs a charter school in the social Randolph, might be the possibility. Their test scores are decimated. They're in terrible shape. So what has happened is this particular company, in their last proposal, included the town of Randolph and the city of Taunton. All the test scores were added together, so that brought the test scores down, and they were able to sneak a charter school into the city of Brockton. That's a $5 million deficit to our city of Brockton.
Wait. Is that a political thing to say, that they snuck it in here?
Well, I guess we all went, all of our elected officials went there,
right.
Spoke out against it, majority of the residents. I talked to a lot of residents that didn't even know that it was going to be taking public funding from our school system. And if I feel personally, if they cared about the kids, they would have went to the town that needed it, not the city of Brockton. Our teachers, our staffs, they do a fantastic job. Now, without the money from the state, Brockton wouldn't survive, and neither would Whitman and Hanson and these other towns. Through the Ed Reform Act of 1993, it was able to get better funding for our schools, which helped Brockton tremendously. Now, this year, they were facing layoffs, almost 100-something personnel being laid off from our school system, not only because of that charter school that was not needed in Brockton, but they also changed the foundation formula, how school systems are funded. And that was from the Board of Education, which gets approved by the governor. And what they did was they're not counting, it's not families on free handouts, but there might be families that are working, but they're working a job like Walmart that doesn't pay a heck of a lot.
Are you talking about the free and reduced program?
They get free and reduced lunch, correct. And these are families that are just barely above the poverty level, barely making above minimum wage, but they're not looking for a free handout. They want to work. They want to contribute to society and pay taxes like you and I and everybody here. And unfortunately, they would qualify for free or reduced lunch because their income levels are low. So they weren't included in the mix. And that's another $5 million hit to the city of Brockton alone. So we fought both at the House level and at the Senate level. And our delegation worked very hard to put money back into the budget. And we were able to get a few additional dollars in there. It's never enough, as you know. But we were able to put some money back into the school budget, which is so important. Not only Brockton, but all of the Commonwealth.
I just want to say that I was just kind of being, I was having fun with you, Senator, by asking that if it was a political thing. No, if I wanted to be serious, I would have asked, did you know that it's bring your pet to the park? And I know that you have a couple of pet squirrels. Did you bring them?
No, but that's why, and I apologize to the listeners. I've been dealing with shingle issues, and I've probably had every animal in the city at my house. I had squirrels that got into my roof. I had raccoons that got into my porch. I got rid of them. Somebody told me to put a radio on, and they'd get rid of them. So I put on talk radio, believe it or not.
Right.
And it's like the humans are talking. And then, of course, every winter I get mice, like most of us get with these old homes with a stone foundation. So I'm dealing with mice. I know.
I got two.
I own a four family, and I'm on the second floor of the house, and I've got an exterminator over there. I got a roof guy that I was meeting with today to fix the roof, and it just never ends.
It sounds like you got more of an arc than you have than a rental unit.
Exactly. So they're calling me Dr. Doolittle with all the animals now.
I don't know, Kevin. I think he was taking a shot at you. He said he put talk radio on to keep the raccoons
right.
and the squirrels out. I mean, I think that was a shot right over your bow.
It's only 2 hours a week, so I don't know how much they're actually.
Well, we enjoy listening to our talk radio. It's the other talk radios that from Massachusetts.
Okay, yeah, good to know. I want to, before we transition away from this topic, we know that throughout the, so once the governor finally does sign this into law, this new budget, it depending on if he's going to make any cuts or if he's going to make any adjustments to it, what happens down the road to try to close the gap, the budget gap for the city of Brockton? When there is, we know that there's an ebb and a flow when it comes to the finances and the revenues that come into the state. Will the legislative delegation do what it can if there is a sub budget written to try to put that money back into the city of Brockton?
So we are doing everything that we can. Every single member of the delegation is working very hard. We've had several meetings trying to close the budget gap. I do know that there are these pink slips and then there are these blue slips, and I think there was over 130 teachers that got some kind of layoff notice. And when we passed the budget after 5 p.m. on Friday, I texted the superintendent the final number, And she got right back to me and said that she'd be looking it over with her team on Monday to see what was going to come of that. And hopefully we'll hear soon. So hopefully they're going to be able to bring some people back. I'm very nervous about 50 kids in a high school classroom. It's almost like you're asking for children to drop out of school when you put 50 kids in a classroom with one teacher and not enough teacher's aides. It's very troubling. I'm nervous about it. I graduated from Brockton High, which is right here near Campanelli, yep, in 91. And ed reform came in 92. And that was a lawsuit that forced the government to fund urban education more. And it's probably getting back to that bad right now with the changes in definition that really are depleting education funding for urban communities. It's a real problem.
Okay. And again, we're speaking with State Representative Michelle Dubois, representing the 10th Plymouth District.
And if I can just say one thing, to be fair, East Bridgewater and West Bridgewater, I represent both those towns too, and they're also being shortchanged on reimbursements for health insurance for their employees and reimbursements for some other, like special ed delivery, driving the kids around. And so there's a lot more work to be done on education funding in Massachusetts.
All right.
I serve now as a chairman of revenue, so my role is very cumbersome to try to get money back in for the Commonwealth to deliver back to these communities, like we all do, but we had things in the budget prior. The budget starts with the governor proposing a budget, then it goes to the House of Representatives, then it goes to the state senate, and we had things in there that were to look at new ways to bring revenue, like Airbnbs. They don't pay the same tax like a regular hotel does.
Mm-hmm. And they should be, right.
Correct, and we're looking at other means, but some of the things that we put in the budget go to the Ways and Means, and then it becomes an up and down vote between all of us in the House and the Senate. So not all the things that were proposed got sustained in the budget, and that's a difficult part. Now, there was many bills filed to look at ways to bring revenue into the Commonwealth as well, so we can get money back to these cities and towns. But there's also things like we give tax breaks to a lot of corporations. GE got a big tax break in Boston. It's wonderful they came to Boston and all that, but do they really need that amount of a tax breaks? And we give tax breaks to when they're doing movies. They did a couple movies in Brockton, which is great, but they get big tax breaks. And we're trying to provide jobs for the people from the area and so forth, but we got to look at how we're spending the money and what are we doing to get the revenue back into the Commonwealth so we can get the money back. You know, our roads in deplorable condition all across the Commonwealth. Our transportation system needs a ton of fix. You know, we're trying to expand the railroad down to Taunton from mm-hmm. the Rainham line there. They're looking to expand it down to
South Coast Rail.
And which is why I really advocate in 2018 for people to really consider voting yes on the millionaire's tax. It's a tax that would be a 4% tax on earnings, personal earnings, not business earnings, over $1 million. So you pay the same tax as everybody else up to $1 million. Then over $1 million, you pay 4% extra if you're a millionaire. And all that money will be designated to schools and transportation.
And as I was going to introduce just a moment ago, State Senator Mike Brady, you're representing the 2nd Plymouth Bristol District here in the House. Before I let you both go, last question I got to ask you. I know that there's been some discussion in regards to revamping the recreational marijuana law that's on the books. What do you both kind of stand on that? What's your thought as far as now that the budget, FY18 budget, is now technically in the rearview mirror, unless there are changes made by the governor? I think that's probably the next thing that's probably up on the docket. Give me your thoughts.
Can I take that first?
Sure.
I'll be quick. I support the 28%. I think it could be even higher. Most states, if you look where marijuana adult use has been legalized, it's around 30% effective tax rate. Right now, most towns around Brockton have already outlawed medical marijuana, and they're outlawing adult use marijuana. So the 2% local tax revenue that was written into the question won't even cover the cost to the city to be the host of an adult marijuana facility. So, I mean, you don't need marijuana to live if it's not a medicine, and a 28% tax is really the median across the nation. I do support that 28% tax, though I don't think it is what is going to be the final number.
Okay.
Well, that is still being debated in a conference committee. There was a committee on the House and the Senate side I think we have to abide by the voters' wishes. The voters voted for a 12% tax. I think we're never going to stop the illegal market at 12%, never mind 28%. I was concerned about legalizing marijuana right off the bat, and I did not vote because we don't have enough information on the medical marijuana. There's not enough research on that. And the way the law was written, it's not just legalizing for somebody to smoke a marijuana joint. It's the concern about the edibles and the marketing mm-hmm. to children, even though you have to be 21 to purchase it. In other states that we sent a group out to, they found more young children to be arrested in the emergency rooms because of the edibles. They're marketing Pop-Tarts as Pot-Tarts. They're marketing Ho-Hos and all these other edibles. So that's a concern. But the debate is still going on. The Senate voted for the 12% tax, and they did pretty much what the voters voted for. Mm-hmm. We have to support the voters' wishes. The House was a little bit higher, and it's probably going to come maybe somewhere in the middle. Who knows? But they're still debating it and hashing it out in the conference committee.
Well, I want to thank you, Representative Dubois.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you, Senator Brady, for coming in and at least starting off our conversation here live from Campanelli Stadium to at least go in the right direction for hopefully the next hour.
Thank you.
You got it.
Thank
All right.
you for having us.
You
this
got
was
it.
Enjoyable.
We will step aside for a moment. When we come back, we're going to speak with Todd Marlin, Senior VP and General Manager of the Brock & Rocks. Don't go anywhere.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, we're back here at Campanelli Stadium, live from Campanelli Stadium in Brockton. And first pitch, game is already underway. Of course, I'm blind as a bat. Rob, what's the score at this particular time? We got Rob Machado. 0-0. Rocks coming off a fantastic win over the Wachusett Dirt Dogs. They are the other team. I think they're in, what, Division A? Is it Division E? There's two divisions in the FCBL. And we have Todd Marlin. He is here, the Senior Vice President, General Manager of the Brockton Rocks.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing pretty good. Thank
Welcome.
You. Thank you for having us here, broadcasting live from a fantastic suite number 317. And we get a full view of the field. Give me your thoughts, being the gentleman who is presiding over the Brockton Rocks.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's we're really glad to have you guys here tonight. I think this is a fabulous thing you're doing. It's Bring Your Pet Night, you know, so I hope you guys brought any pets, you know.
I actually tried to shake down the state senator because I know that he has a couple of pet squirrels, and he did not bring them this evening. Yeah. But we're also, myself and my missus who is here, we have a beagle, Hazel. Uh-huh. And we didn't bring her. I was afraid that if she saw me loving on the pet of the week, Rupert, this evening, she might not talk to me for, at least she might not beg for any food for a day or two.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'm saving myself for Rupert. He'll be up at 7:30.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So, but yeah, no, things are great. We're, you know, the Rocks are off to a great start this year. In first place as of right now. We're heading to the All-Star break the end of this weekend. So if we can maintain that spot, we'd be real happy with our start.
For folks who don't understand, because this thing that's called the Brockton Rocks has evolved since its inception in the early 2000s from being a semi-professional baseball league to where this is something that it's almost like the Cape Cod League. That's what it was exactly. designed as a model of.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And, you know, it's a college wooden bat league. And these teams and leagues have taken off all across the country. They've really modeled themselves after the Cape League. You know, the Cape League has definitely separated itself.
Sure.
But the Futures League, you know, we're right there. And, you know, one of the very unique things about the Futures League is that we have a minimum requirement requirement of 12 players on our roster have to be New England players.
Yep.
And that could be either, you know, born and raised in Brockton, but they're playing for UCLA, or, you know, from Los Angeles, but they're playing down at Wheaton. As long as you've got that combination, you've got to have that set number of players on your roster at all times. And it's very unique to, college wooden bat baseball in general. But, you know, we're really proud of that fact, to give these New England-based players an opportunity to be seen by scouts that are here on a nightly basis and potentially get drafted.
And, of course, we've got one of your members of your broadcast team, Rob Marcello, who is here. But it's funny that you mention about that you have some homegrown talent that is playing out in that field. You mentioned an individual from Brockton, and just scanned because Rob was nice enough to bring me some information. Kyle Peterson,
yeah, absolutely,
who is from Brockton. You get right next door in Whitman. You got Brandon Nazarella, who is here. And anybody who is?
Ricky Smith is from Weymouth. Else, Rob? We got some other local guys.
You got
David Griffin
Brendan
from Hanover.
Brendan Pierce from Hingham.
Just
to name a few, and maybe if you want to take off a few more that we might have overlooked, who are here from the South Shore.
I'm trying to think of anyone else on the roster.
Yeah.
Let me look here.
It's really good to see, Kevin, that there's some local talent coming onto these teams. It's great to bring this to Brockton and have this opportunity for the people to come and watch this type of baseball at this type of level right here in Brockton at a beautiful facility like we're at right now, Campanella Stadium. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You look out of the windows of this beautiful suite, and you can just see the field is gorgeous. Everybody's into it. There's a lot of people here this evening, and it really is. It's a good time for people to come and see, and it's cheap to get in.
Yeah,
it's a very cheap night out.
Yeah, it really is. $6. And, you know, this league, you mentioned about the quality of play. It has gotten exponentially better just in the 3 years that I've been involved with the league. And we had five guys drafted from 2 years ago, the guys that were on our roster 2 years ago. One of them went in the eighth round. You know, so these are some really good baseball players that are here that are, you know, really just improving their craft as they go back to college for fall ball. They'll play another year next spring. And a lot of the guys that are on our roster from last year, I expect to be drafted maybe even higher than the eighth round.
What are some of the challenges in being a team like the Brockton Rocks? Again, it's not the same as being semi-professional, but there's more excitement. More or less, you have players who have probably a lot more upside compared to the semi. No disrespect to the semi-professional baseball, but those were individuals who had their opportunity and were seeking almost like redemption, like a second chance. These are kids who are on the rise, and as you said, are going to get drafted and could one day be playing for a local team, whether it's the New York Yankees, the Red Sox, the Miami Marlins, you name it.
Sure, and I spent a lot of time in the Atlantic League, which is an independent league just like the Rocks played in, the Can-Am League.
Yep.
And it's a really big difference just in the mentality of how we even go about it on the baseball side of things. You know, we always wanted to build a team, and you make sure, you know, you always hear character, or, you know, good clubhouse team or whatever that is. There's a really truthful element to that. And, you know, you can see that the guys this year especially have really kind of taken that, and they're hanging out with each other. And, you know, you try and build that by bringing in guys like Tad Skelly, you know, from Northwestern. It's a really good baseball program that made a big run in the Big Ten tournament this year. So they're doing some things right there. And if he can implement a lot of what he's doing to bring players into Northwestern, to bring them here to Brockton, our level of play is only going to get better.
Rob, you want to have a chance to kind of give you've been watching this team for, 31 games so far?
I think so, about that.
Yeah.
We're off to a really good start this year.
18-13.
First place in our division.
Yep.
Just speaking to the players before games, after games, you know, they really have good team camaraderie. And I feel like this is going to be a special year if we can continue to do what we're doing.
And if I could just mention one other quick thing.
Please do.
You know, also along with, you asked some of the challenges. For us, a lot of the challenges are generating revenue, you know, getting people to the ballpark, selling sponsorships, because there has been a past with Brockton. And we're trying to slowly change that tide. And we've implemented a lot of programs into the schools with reading programs. But as we're sitting here talking to Rob, you know, Rob is one of the things that really helps the Brockton Rocks go. And that's, we also, you know, we bring in 35 baseball players that are college kids. We bring in between 15 and 20 college kids that want to possibly be in the business of baseball. Mm. And they do internships for us during the summer. And, you know, not only do we have players that get drafted, but we've got interns that have worked for us that are now selling, you know, major dollar sponsorships at Madison Square Garden. They're working for the Patriots. They're working for the Red Sox. You know, they're doing these other sports-type jobs, and they're being trained right here in Brockton at our facility during the summer with us. So it's a really cool element to not only do the baseball, but also have these college kids getting an opportunity to learn business.
Well, it's awesome, again, to have this hidden gem over here in Brockton that a lot of people just don't see, and they don't realize what goes on here and how much that the Rocks do bring to Brockton, as you just touched on, whether it's bringing the talent or it's bringing people in to be trained so they can move on into another career. So all the listeners listening tonight, if you can get over to the Rock Stadium over here in Brockton, it's right across, right off of Belmont Street.
Right by the high school.
Right behind, by the high school.
By the fairground.
Yeah. Absolutely gorgeous facility, and it's $6 to see some unbelievable baseball over here, and hot dogs, hamburgers, it's all here. It's great. It really is. Thank you for having us.
No problem. Thanks. You guys come back anytime.
Well, the thing I was going to also throw in there and tie in the community is, while you have a lot of local kids, there's another component that you need that is, host families.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, you always, I know every year, you know, right around April and May, that there's, you know, a call is put out for host families for kids who live in Colorado, Texas, Florida, who don't have any family up here in the area, but yet, you know, they want to be able to come up and sign with the Rocks for a season.
That's right, and we'll have anywhere between 15 to 20 guys that we're looking to house each year, and we've got a very good host family base. We can always use more, but a lot of them have been around for a very long time. They even did it when the Rocks were the pro team, so they get the ins and outs, and there's a reason that they continue doing it, and I think it's because of the relationships that they build with these guys. You know, you can go to, the Emerys, who had the guy from Michigan, can't think of his name now, Langenbaum or whatever, that got drafted by in the eighth round, and she still keeps in touch with him. You know, every year she'll come in and she'll say, oh, he just sent me a new Michigan sweatshirt, you know, because that's where he played college ball.
Right.
So they develop these relationships, and when I saw it in pro ball, was really cool too, because a guy might get a chance to go back to the big leagues, and you know who's flying out there with his family? His host family.
Right. So he's getting two families for the price of one.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Excellent. I want to make sure that, and again, you're listening to Monday Night Talk. We are broadcasting live from Campanelli Stadium here in the City of Champions, Brockton, Massachusetts. And you're listening to us. You're listening to us on the dial, 95.9 WATD, or around the world on 959WATD.com. We're speaking with Todd Marlin, who is the Senior Vice President and General Manager. And we also have a member of the broadcast team, Rob Marcello, is here also. He's been in and out chatting with us. I want to tease big event that you're coming up later this week.
Yeah.
Team USA versus Japan. Talk to me about that.
Team USA versus Japan works really hard with the league to put this together. And Team USA and Team Japan is going to play a 3-game series. One game in Worcester, one game here in Brockton, and one up in Nashua. All, you know, FCBL facilities. Mm-hmm. And we're really excited about it. This is the 41st edition of Team USA and Team Japan playing this type of a little mini tournament. And, you know, they come over, and the United States is hoping to go over there in a couple of years. You know, we're really excited to be the host Saturday, or Friday, the 14th at 7 o'clock. There's fireworks. We're going to do it all up, and really looking forward to seeing a lot of people out here for it.
Now, see, that's a fantastic event for folks to come in, to draw folks into the park. That's one avenue. You also have other little clever things. We've mentioned it a couple times already. Bring your pet to the park night. That's tonight, and I think there's going to be another Monday or two.
Yeah, every Monday that we have this season is going to be bring your pet to the ballpark.
What are some of the other promotions that the Rocks have that, you know what, that's a draw that maybe somebody out there who's listening might say, hey, that's a heck of an idea to go to catch a game, and I can get involved with that as well.
Yeah, every Friday night we do fireworks. Our Sundays are loaded with promotions. We do, it's Family Fun Day, and we let families come out when the gates open, and they can actually throw and play catch in the outfield for 45 minutes before the game starts. And then after the game, the kids all run the bases and get an autograph session with the players. Thursday nights are our $2 drink night. So beers, sodas are $2. You know, where are you going to beat that deal? On Tuesday, that's Thursday nights. Tuesday nights, we've got dollar dogs. Come get a dollar hot dog. Can't beat the price.
What's the one thing about your job, you know, while, you know, there's responsibility and there's a salary that you feel that it enhances your job being here as, the senior VP and general manager? It's one of those, you know, one of those amenities that, you know what, that you can't put a price tag on.
Just coming to the ballpark every day. You know, a lot of people have to get up and they put on their suits and their ties and they go off to their office or whatever. You know, I put on a polo shirt and nice pants, or I put on my suit and tie some days too.
Right.
But I drive to the ballpark, and even in the middle of the winter, when there's 3 foot, 4 foot of snow on the ground, I'll still go out to the ballpark and just look around. And it's just, I like going to the ballpark, and that's it. That's what brings me here every day and keeps me going, and I've been doing this almost 20 years.
Now, folks may have been, at last time I was here, it was under different ownership, different, sure. And I believe you have a gentleman named Chris English who has come in here. He's done some modifications. He's changed a few things. Give folks an idea who have maybe haven't been to the ballpark, especially here in Brockton. I know you get a lot of folks from the surrounding communities, but you know what? The folks who are here in Brockton know what you guys have done.
We've put probably $1.2 million into the facility since we've been here in 3 years. That includes a brand new playing surface. We've repainted the whole place. We've redone the suites with new TVs and carpet and paint. We're fixing up the scoreboard and, you know, piece by piece trying to make the fan experience better every year that we come out here. And, you know, we think that we've done a really good job with it, and we're hoping that a lot of people come out and enjoy it and keep coming back.
I just want to give folks a score update as I got a member of the Brockton Rocks. What's the score right now, Rob, that we have up? It looks as though the
Rocks
are
3-0.
3-0.
3-0. We're up 3-0.
3-0. And I don't think there's no outs either.
Good.
So
we like that kind of start.
Bottom of the first, 3-0, Brockton Rocks over the Martha's Vineyard Sharks at this particular time. Anything that we haven't mentioned but you feel we should end on a high note in regards to talking about the Brockton Rocks?
No, just come out. You know, we're on a home stretch. We're going to be here the majority of days for the next two and a half weeks, trying to bring home a pennant to Brockton. And we're looking forward to seeing people here at the ballpark.
Now, how's it work? Now, you said you're coming into the All-Star break.
Sure.
Right? So what happens? I know because it's changed from year to year, depending on the team that's here and depending on the league itself and any changes. So what happens with the record? Does it stay the same?
They play the full, 56-game schedule all accumulated throughout the whole season. Don't do the split season like they did in independent ball.
So the thing I would ask you is, so it doesn't matter if the Rocks finish first in their division in the first half. There's not like a first half winner or anything like that.
No, there's not a first half. No, the way we do our playoffs, the two winners of each division are buys in the playoffs, and then the 3, 4, 5, 6 seeds, and that's the way they seed them, would all be by record. So you may have four teams from one division. Potentially, it's all the six best teams with the best records. That's who goes to the playoffs.
Well, right now, Brockton's doing remarkably well. 31 games in.
Yeah, that's it.
We got to hope for the next, when you said there's 56. So
56, we still got a little ways to go.
We got about another 24 games, 25 games left.
Yeah. I think 14 of them are here. 13 of them are here over the next 2 weeks. So, you know, some good opportunities to come out and see some good baseball.
Excellent. There he is, Todd. We want to thank you for joining us. Rob, we want to thank you also for joining us. Anything you want to say in closing, sir?
I just think this season so far has gone really well. I think for me, broadcasting-wise, coming from a small school in Massachusetts, to be able to kind of come here to Brockton and kind of show my talents is something pretty cool, and I'm really enjoying it to start. So.
And how can folks listen to you do the broadcast?
So just go on BrocktonRocks.com. There's going to be a media tab. I think it's on the upper right-hand corner. And you're going to go down, and it's going to say media. And there's going to be a link that you're going to click, and you'll be able to listen to me tonight if you want to, or in the future.
Or in the future. Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for joining us and being a part of the broadcast. And we'll look forward to coming back maybe somewhere towards the end of the season.
We'd love it. Please, anytime. Guys, thanks for coming. We appreciate it.
You got it. There he is, Todd Marlin with the Brockton Rocks, as well as Rob Marcello, who has been our guest for this segment. We are going to step aside for a moment, but when we come back, the second hour of Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD-FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome opening day. Pembroke Titans softball.
Okay, Addie, you got this. Just relax.
I know, Dad.
First batter coming to the plate.
I know, Hattie, but just keep your eye on the ball. Just keep your eye on the ball.
Dad, relax. I do got this.
I know, Hattie. Remember, don't swing at the first pitch.
Daddy!
And here's the pitch. That is a fair... In fact, that's a home run!
Sorry about your windshield, Dad.
Are you kidding me? That was awesome. I'm keeping the inspection sticker for a souvenir.
Windshield broken by a home run? Call Tiny first. 1-888-64-TINYS.
That's my Hattie.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, we are back here for the second hour of Monday Night Talk. Great talking with Todd and Rob about the ball team, Bob.
Yeah, it was.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got some happy news.
He did hit on the USA champion team coming.
As you can hear this, that's what you're hearing out in the stadium. So if Larry, our engineer, decided to sneak a microphone outside and we're somewhere.
Hey, please welcome my new friend. Today is his birthday, July 10th. He's 6 years old. His name is Colton. He's from the town of, actually the city of Weymouth. Colton, wave to everybody. Hey, all right, say hi to Colton, everybody. Come on out, Colton.
All right, happy birthday, Colton. And right, here we go, Colton. So we have a fabulous trio of city councilors who are joining us. And we have, can we pull that down? I feel like I'm competing with the announcer for the Brockton Rocks, who is... entertaining the fine folks who are out in the stadiums. We have, from the Brockton City Council, going from left to right, we have at-large councillor Gwyn Falwell. We have the dean of the council, Ward 3 City Councillor Dennis Ianneri.
Thank you, sir.
And, last but not least, the stud, Paul Studinski, Ward 4 City Councillor. Welcome. All right, so you guys are going to have to share that microphone.
We can do that.
Might do? Bob and I will share our microphone. Oh, maybe that's not bad. Hey, you know what, do studs? You take this.
All right.
You scoot. I won't bite you. I swear. Come here, Bob. I won't bite you. Gentlemen, welcome to Monday Night Talk here in your backyard.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
Here in my ward, though.
Seeing that you're these days you are, you know, the dean, yeah, the elder statesman, I wanted to make sure that we made it easier for you to be able to come to the radio show.
Yeah, the elder statesman. Well, the pension will show that someday, maybe, but I don't know. In any case,
if you're elder, I must be a fossil because I'm older than you are.
So. Well,
as am I.
I will say all of our speedometers are somewhere past 50, so it's okay.
That's true.
That's right.
It's definitely good. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Probably, the first thing I probably want to start off with, I was kind of just going to talk regular city business, but I know that overnight we had a little bit of an incident. We are in the city of Brockton, and from time to time, being a city, things happen. As there was an incident in... I think somewhere...
Ward 3.
Ward 3.
South side. Give me your thoughts on, you know, I mean, again, when incidents like this happen.
Not something I like to hear about the first thing in the morning, to be truthful with you. Mm-hmm. Not at all. And as the day has gone on and I've learned a little bit more about the whole situation, I'm not too happy with how it all went down either. And I mean that in the way that a permit was given to what was supposed to be, you know, just a block party to become... what I would call, if you get 250 people in a backyard, that's more of a private type of party than it is a block party. Mm. And I've had block parties, throughout other areas of the ward, and never held in any such manner as that one. So, very disappointed, with it. Unfortunately, the situation, you know, shouldn't have occurred. It did. And naturally, you know, you have your sympathy to that, to anyone that gets injured in something like that, that is just, you know, there for whatever means. But I'm sure there's a reason as well, and the investigation does go on. And same as in you talk that, you might as well swing to the other section of the city where you had trouble just, I believe it was Friday night, up in the north section of the city as well. So, you know, summer's here, but that isn't what you want. I think I as council and my colleagues as well, and both who served in the police department, and one who was a fine chief of police. I mean, we have our concerns to how things are really being managed and how things are being done, you know, and protecting our people today. So I'm not happy with it, really. I'm not.
And if I could tap the two gentlemen who have had a career in law enforcement, sitting on the city council, give your thought. This is warm weather. Sometimes things like this happen, no?
Yeah, I guess it is the warm weather in the sense that people are out later at night. It's the weather's conducive to having a party. I'm distressed that if a permit is issued and it calls for a police detail, you have the police detail. And in this case, that wasn't done. I'm not going to say that was the cause of someone's death or someone being wounded, but frankly, because I tend to call them as I see them, if the police pull up and you've got a permit for a party and you don't have a police detail and you've blocked off a major street, as far as I'm concerned, that permit is null and void. You shut it down and you ask the people to make alternative arrangements. That apparently wasn't done, and now we have a resulting fatality and someone innocently, a bystander, injured.
Mm.
And not good for the city, not a good image for the city, and I'm afraid it frightens people away. And it's too bad because it's a wonderful city, but, you know, one incident like this, if you're from out of town, it's, oh, my God, I'm not going to go to Brockton. And how do you fight that?
And what's great, I mean, I have to say this, is folks don't realize the great things that this community has. Here we are at a baseball game. Tell me another community on the South Shore. I can name one other, but I don't know if it's to the magnitude of what Brockton has when we're talking about having family fun entertainment at hand at any corner of the city.
I agree. I mean, Paul and I know the city well. We pounded the pavement as patrolmen and then
together,
as sergeants,
right?
And yeah, and then we were promoted the same day, and then he went on to become a lieutenant and then went on to become the police chief, and I foolishly went into the mayor's office. Should have stayed with you on the police department, studied for captain. But
we've been a good team.
We would have.
We were a good team.
The city really does have so much to offer. I mean, right over here, you've got one of the largest high schools east of the Mississippi. It's got a planetarium. It's got almost every kind of course imaginable.
Sure.
It's got kids who go to West Point, the Coast Guard Academy. A friend of mine had his daughter go to the Coast Guard Academy, and Dawn made a career out of it. I mean, what more can you ask for?
Plenty of accolades, and it's something that a lot of news articles and pieces are done, that we see it on TV, we see it in the paper, whether it's not necessarily just a local scribe, but you see it in the New York Post or the New York Times. It's something that's been written up in educational journals as to the excellence that is here when it comes to providing an education to these kids.
Yeah, the best story I can tell, because
I like stories.
Dennis and I jokingly always remind people we were on the school committee for a long time. But the best story I can tell, the old Parkway restaurant was in operation, and some Japanese educators came over here to study what was going on at the high school. What I did not know is that apparently beef is very, very expensive in Japan. And we took them to the Parkway restaurant, and they had what most of us would call, probably an 8-ounce sirloin. They were so impressed, they took out their cameras and started taking pictures. So I went to one of them who spoke English, and
sure,
he said, oh, no, beef like this over in Japan, $50, $50. Now, that was back in the 80s.
Sure.
Yeah. I can imagine what it would have been the equivalent of today's time. But that's an example of people coming to Brockton and studying what we're doing and learning from it.
I want to take a moment. I know we started off talking about, you know, the hot topic of the day. And unfortunately, that was one of the things that led off our newscast this morning on the South Shore's Morning News. But, yeah, I want to take a moment to let you guys go around the table. Talk to me about how the city has changed since you have become an elected official. I don't care what order we go in. We can start with the chief, Paul Studensky. We can talk with you first. We can go with the dean, who not only has served many years on the city council, but as a member of the school committee, right?
Yeah, 20 years. I keep reminding everybody that. piece, but it was 20 years on the school committee, and then the last 14 years as a member of the city council. So I've had the most years in, to be truthful, as an elected official within the city of Brockton. So, I mean, when you want to talk about change, well, we can all chime in about change, because Brockton in itself is just, it's different than what it was when even I was younger, and these two gentlemen are just a few years younger than I, but still, you know, when you think about what, you know, Main Street was and what some of your neighborhoods were, and yeah, I think of, you know, I grew up in an Italian household, and you know, Italian relatives all around you. When I lived on the east side, that's how it was, and other sections of the city went where it was French or Lebanese or Lithuanian, or even old time Yankee, as Mr. Fowle likes to refer himself as, and my mother was one. But I mean, those were the days, I guess. It was just the way it was, and you didn't have some of the problems that you have today. Society's different today than what it was, you know, many years ago, too. And I have to say, I'm, you know, a proud product of Brockton High School. I graduated with the class of 1972. I was the second graduating class out of Brockton High School. And I was the last class that went in the afternoon session. When you mentioned that today, that I did afternoon sessions, they said, what did you do? 2 from 3, 3 to 4? I said, no, you went from 12:20 to 10 to 5. And when the time change came in the fall, then you were let out at 4:30. So you got home just when it was getting dusk. But think of it, of what type of education you had in your last year when you were only really in school 4.5, maybe 5 hours the most. Not what you have today.
Sure.
Not what you have today. I mean, I looked at that last year as almost not a waste, but it wasn't productive, you know. And the new school was being built, then the old school was getting ready to close. I mean, you know, that's how it was back then, but... I don't want to keep going. I could go on and on.
That's all right. Councilor Studensky, do you want to reflect?
That was one of the reasons why they built this school, class of 1965.
See?
First 1,000-person entry class.
Really?
Yeah, we started, we did the afternoon thing as sophomores, and then I'm sorry, I usually have a pretty good voice.
well, the thing is, when you turn your head, you...
I got you. It brings back a lot of memories. The biggest thing that the change is, and people have to realize this, we have doubled the motor vehicles in the city. We probably have quite a few more people than we ever had in the city. We're not able to count them properly.
And so you mean that the census number of like 94, 95 may not actually be accurate?
May not be accurate.
Okay. Right.
May not be accurate. Donald's looking at that now, I'm sure.
Okay.
But the biggest item is we have a lot of good people, and it's a shame that some bad people, or people who make mistakes with handguns in particular, and don't know how to imbibe them in alcohol without getting sloshed and pulling a handgun.
Yeah.
That occurs. And that occurs in every village, every city, every town. That's not unique to Brockton. The big item is we need to go back, and I'm going to be going public with this. We had, when Wynn was the mayor...
Wait, I think you're technically going public with it right now.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I am.
Just saying.
I don't say much at the meetings.
No, you're more of a listener.
City council, I do, but yeah. We went in a time when we were cut to 134 officers, including the chief. That was it. Today they work with 180. They need to go back to community policing. Mm. That's the only way I can say it. It don't question why somebody got killed, because you can't understand, because the 8 motorcycles just drove by. That's the reason why. They have to stop and work with the people, talk with the people. Mm. Form a rapport. With that, I'll give it to you.
And if I could just give you a little bit of an introduction. Again, somebody who has spent time as a member of the school committee. Somebody who served as mayor. And somebody who decided, hey, you know what, I think I want to sit on the city council as recent as just a couple of years ago. Give me your thoughts.
I think I'll recycle myself into a radio talk show host. My next,
that's a smart move. You all have great voices.
It's, when you talk about the city changing, the interesting thing is actually for us, it's in elected office, it's the same. You've got to listen to people, and you've got to have some empathy and sympathy for them. And I always say, you know, the old expression, there but for the grace of God go I. So when someone calls with a problem, even if it's a street light out or their road needs to be reconstructed, That's the way I would feel. I'd want an elected official to listen and to respond appropriately and help them out. So I think the politics stays the same. I think getting to know the different people in the city has changed, but it's still enjoyable. I mean, it's a great group of people.
It is. You're listening to Monday Night Talk. We are live from Campanelli Stadium in the City of Champions, Brockton. Of course, if you're listening to us, so you're either listening to us on the radio dial, 959 FM, WATD, or worldwide, 959WATD.com. And we are fortunate enough to have three members of the City Council, Brockton City Council, who are here, Councilors Dennis Aneri, Paul Sadinski, and Wynn Falwell, who are joining us this time. And if I've been hogging the mic, I got a co-host here, and he's been sitting here patiently, and it's usually he's somebody who is very talkative, but I'm very proud of you for being so quiet. Would you like to pose a question to these fine gentlemen?
Well, it's very interesting. I know that all three of them have been involved with politics, and you've all talked about school committees. I'm on my 15th year as a school committee member.
God bless
you. So I know a little bit about that. Do you think any of this plays, the cultural mix and the diversity that you have in Brockton has changed? Do you think that plays into it? I know that I've been to a few of the meetings, and when you have 30 and 40 languages spoken in high school, do you think that plays into the difficulty of what's going on with the community policy, policing, as you're talking about, Paul?
It just may. The language change. The biggest item is to communicate. So if we need to, we're set up where we can get the information from the people, no matter what language they speak, and we can give them information. And it's fun. I personally enjoy languages a lot. And I delve into different ones and have a good time with it. I had high school French right up down the street at Tom Savardi. And from that, within 60 days, I could speak fluent Vietnamese in 1966. Now, I don't know how I got there, but I woke up one day and I was there. And you know what? It's 50 years later, and I still can speak. In fact, I probably speak more Vietnamese than French or Spanish, which I had courses in both of them. It was fun. You know, and I'm turned around again, I swear to God.
Please continue.
Oh, thank you very much.
Do you have another question?
No, the question really speaks to it. Probably is a little bit difficult for the police officers at certain times to be able to understand what's going on with different cultures that are going on, and maybe there is some sort of a barrier between the languages that makes it more difficult for the police department. Mm. I'm not defending on either side.
Right,
I'm just
right,
saying
right.
That probably poses a little bit more difficult problems than it would be years ago. And I know that people have changed. I mean, computers, cell phones, etc.
But you know what? You've just reinforced what Councillor Studensky said, how important community policing is. Because if elected officials and public safety officials network with people, listen to people, a lot of times they'll tip you off. Hey, listen, you know, there's a group on the north side that's got a beef going with somebody else,
yep,
or some other group, and we just want to make you aware of it. We don't want to get involved. We don't want to give our name. But at least you have a heads up as to what might be coming. So the beauty of community policing is you get to know the people in your city. You treat everyone fairly and equally. Don't favor any one group over the other, because then you'll polarize people. But a lot of times they'll tell you what's going on in advance of what's going to happen, and I think that's very beneficial.
I was going to say, is this, you're talking about this? This is a city that has long been a melting pot. You've had different ethnicities, and community policing has worked in the past. In regards to even if you have new cultures coming into the city. So I don't see why, you know, being able to speak a language is necessarily, I think if you have a rapport with individuals as somebody that a walking beat, and you say hi to the different people as you're in that neighborhood, that you're more likely you're going to be able to glean more information than if it's just a cruiser driving by every now and then.
Yep. It's trust. It all comes down to trust. If they trust you, they'll work with you.
It's proven. They'll make a call to protect an officer. If they know something, somebody's threatening.
Talk right into that microphone.
They'll make the call to protect an officer.
I agree.
It happened for years, and it will it will work again.
Right. But here's the thing. Is it just a philosophy with the current department? Is it a philosophy with the current administration that's in City Hall? Is it just a matter of we are changing? Because you look back 20 years ago, did we have to, as a culture, have to deal with social media? Because I think that's something else that plays a role in what happens. It's as though there weren't enough problems with life in general. Now you have social media.
It's anti-social media. That's the problem.
Well put, Wayne.
It's not social media.
Bravo. It's anti.
And the other danger in that is you don't want to have an entire generation of people that never talk to each other face-to-face. They send a text message. They send an email. The joke I used to give is I worked in a company where down the hall I'd get an email. Listen, can you drop off an FMLA packet? I've got somebody that's got to go out because their father is sick. The guy was 50 feet away from me. Come down and see me. Say hello. I'll print it out and I'll give it to you. But we have become so totally isolated because of texting and Instagram and Facebook. And I don't know what the answer is. I'm hoping the pendulum will swing back, because otherwise we're going to lose communication skills.
Can it still be an effective tool, though? Because there are members who are sitting, you gentlemen who sit here, there are some members of the city council that do use it effectively to get a message out.
That's
sometimes
true.
There are others who, you know, kind of share what's going on in their life at that moment, whether it's a TV show or whether they're having a meal.
No, don't need
I'm going to come back at you and say, is journalism effective? It depends upon the journalist.
Fantastic.
If you want to do the research,
yep.
You want to come out with the facts and the information, you want to give it to people straight and accurately, it works. If you don't, if you want to obfuscate and spin everything around, it doesn't work. Same with social media.
Are you saying it's fake, Counselor? Or?
I'm saying there are some people out there, Counselor Iannarri, who I question their veracity.
I've long had a problem with Turtle Boy myself, so I'll just throw that.
That's all right, Kev. We don't mind knowing you're in Florida in 2 weeks.
All right. Yeah. But it's not a bad thing. Hey, at least you're paying attention.
I pay attention. I just don't, when I'm looking at it in the morning, I just don't let everybody know that I'm just eating my banana at that particular time. But I do pay attention.
He has more vacations than you and I had terms on the school committee.
Exactly.
I don't understand.
I don't get it.
The problem is, you don't understand, is that I just recycle pictures. So when I put a new picture up, like, hey, you guys are in Florida? No. I like that picture, and I put it up.
I saw him in that ride before.
Exactly. We're speaking with members of the Brockton City Council. Let's talk about how things are going. I mean, you guys had a chance to approve a budget. We just had members of your legislative delegation who are in here, Michelle Dubois, who's a state rep. You had Senator Mike Brady, who were here, talking about what they are trying to do. Give me your thoughts going through the process and how you feel Brockton is progressing right now.
I think we're progressing, and as you know, one of the difficult things that are at our hand right now is the fact that, you know, the school department budget is not where we'd like it to be, and I don't think any of us have heard any real updates to where that's at this particular time. I think we're still left hanging out there with about $14 million in the rears, if I'm not mistaken, but hopefully things will turn maybe in the next few weeks, the next month or so that we can hopefully bring back some of the teachers that were laid off. I think this probably will be, and I know Councilor Fowler and I know from the years that we sat there and what we had to do, but this may be a year where not all teachers are called back because of the situation that we're in, and that's sad. And that happened many, many years ago with Proposition 2.5, and as I've always said, and go back a little bit to old time, but Proposition 2.5 really hurt our community, really hurt the city of Brockton, and we never survived from it. We really haven't. We've always been brought down because of it. The Ed Reform Act of 1993 was a great positive, brought in millions of dollars. I mean, over $71 million, dollars, I think, in that part. And Council Fowler was mayor then, and we had some good things going on, and still do. But what was nice then is we put new schools on the docket, built new schools, saw some other schools we built the later years, but you'd never have that going today. You know, you've got old school buildings that are still sitting out there that are at rest, and we need to be doing something with. And you just in my ward, the Huntington School is closing as an elementary school, but there'll be another program there. And they moved those students over to the Gilmore School. That's the Gilmore School, because the Goddard School is now officially closed. So those are things that, you know, still we're wrestling with. Our side, I mean, you know, we're probably even, but still, you know, there were a lot of good questions when we did our budget process. And our counselors did a fine job in answering, you know, asking those questions as well, just to where all monies are being spent. And that's our job. But I just want to make one point, because you hear from a lot of people. And, you know, you'll hear in the next few months when different candidates are out there that, you know, they want to take hand to do things differently, and that's how we're going to do a budget.
I'll pay you four streets.
The budget is done by the mayor. It's a mayor's budget. No matter if it's a he or she, it's a mayor's budget. We just appropriate the funds. We have nothing to do with it in regards to preparing that budget. We just don't, and people need to understand that, you know. So, but in any case, I'll let my other colleagues chime in on some other things.
Please do. We have a couple of moments left before our next guests are on board.
Well, I'm going to come out with a startling revelation, and that is that all the councilors get along, and we all get along with our legislative delegation. So unlike Washington, where there's this line drawn in the sand and never shall one person cross that other line, we actually listen to one another, we talk to one another, we don't always vote together,
right?
And at the end of the meeting,
you don't have to.
That's right, because if we all voted together, that would be scary.
Yeah,
but at the end of the meeting, we walk out as friends, we pick up the mantle of companionship, and we wait for the next meeting and do what we got to do. And that has really been, I would say that's the thing I've enjoyed most about the almost last 2 years, is the give and take and getting along with people. And as I say, I look at what goes on in Washington, and oh my God, I wouldn't want to be part of that.
So you're not going to run for Congress or U.S. Senate then?
No, they you want to talk about police community relations? They need some congressional relations training down there.
Amen. Mr. Studensky, Councilor Studensky, would you like to weigh in on this?
Sure. I think our city's gonna continue to progress. I'm worried about economics, period. Which way the world's going, which way the country's going. I see some good things happening. Just look at the seller's market right now. And people are jumping to buy property in Brockton.
I hear Brockton's doing well.
Brockton is a place people want to buy property. So come on down. Yep. We're waiting for you.
My daughter and her fiancé buying a house. They're passing papers July 31st in Brockton.
You were expecting a new member to the family. Has that happened yet?
She hasn't arrived as yet. It's July 4th was the due date, so we're all, every time the phone rings, you wonder, is this it? Is this it? So we'll see when the next granddaughter shows up.
You mentioned the economy, and take a look at the project on Linwood Street, right where the old radio station used to be.
Oh, yeah.
And that's in my ward. And when, you know, the investors came to me and even to the neighbors, and we had many meetings about that project, there were some concerns, and we ironed out the concerns. The biggest concern was going to be, okay, once they're all built and they're going to sell for maybe $475,000, you know, will that all happen? I drove down there just last night, and there's one foundation left to be done, and 8 homes are already sold and occupied. So that just goes to show you that people coming into Brockton, and it makes a nice little neighborhood. But just as we say, and as Councilor Studensky said, you know, things are happening. We are on that progressive end of real estate is on that rise. We just need to get through some other things that need to be done. And I'm a great believer is when we're doing all of that, you know, some of our streets need to be looked at harder than what we're looking at now. Other streets need to be repaved. We need to find the monies to do that. We don't get enough Chapter 90 money. Those are things that I hear as a ward counselor. You know, I'm a taxpayer. I'd like a new street. Why can't I have a new street?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you hear it every day. And you hear it every single day. And hopefully maybe we can work to that. But it's tough. It's tough.
It's just so folks know and so they realize, I mean, is there a number of streets that the mayor comes to you or the DPW comes to you and go, are there any particular streets that you'd like to see paved? How does that work?
Maybe people don't know that. Well, how it does work is we as ward councils have every year we put in to the DPW commissioner to what we would like to have done this coming fiscal year or this paving season, I should say, to have, you know, a street or two done. And that's about all. You're limited, basically, and Councilor Studensky knows as a ward councilor, and Councilor Fowler as a mayor knows how it works as well. But keep in mind, Chapter 90 money is only about maybe $1.6-1.7 million,
yeah,
and you've got 7 wards, and to do a street the correct way, you're talking $350,000 to $450,000. Yeah. Okay, folks, do the math. where are we going to get the money to do? You know what I mean? So if we're lucky, we get one, two streets, and we jump up with joy when we get it.
Yeah.
Constituent doesn't, but, you know, we do what we can to attack some of the streets that need to be taken care of. So it's a process, but the DPW commissioner and the mayor sit down and make the final judgment call to what street is going to get done. If there is extra revenue left in that particular pot, then they try to go out and do something that wasn't scheduled to be done. But it's not easy either.
I want to thank you gentlemen for joining me, coming up here and hanging out. Right now, just a score update. Top of the third, Brockton Rocks leading 6-0 over the Sharks. So good nice. Score so far. Gentlemen, thank you again. And
thank you.
Look forward to having you on the airwaves again, whether it's here, Marshfield, or over the phone.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Because we're speaking
thank you
with
all very much.
City Councilors Dennis Neary, Paul Studensky, and Wynn Fowler. Well, we're going to step aside, and when we come back, we're going to speak with the folks from the Animal Protection Center of Southeastern Mass. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Monday Night Talk.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday. Hey, we have a guest. We have, it's the one and only KO has joined us. The unfortunate part here is, KO doesn't talk. He'll nod his head a lot. He's a hell of a guy, gal. We haven't decided, right? We don't know, do we? No. Of course, KO joins us here, but that's not the real reason. We actually have folks from the Animal Protection Center of Southeastern Mass joining us, and I'm also taking a picture at the same time with fingers that are going in front of my face, but I'm still carrying on a conversation. Everybody smile. This is something you don't do on radio, but this is what's actually happening. We have Kim Kokatos, and we have Kim Heiss. Did I say that right, Kim?
Yes, you did.
Yes, sir.
They're both Kim. It's Kim Squared. And ladies, welcome. Now, there is actually a special guest other than KO here, right?
Absolutely. In fact, we have one of our important bosses here. He doesn't give hugs as nice as KO, although maybe he does. We have our friend Rupert, who is a two-year-old dog looking for a home tonight.
Yeah, and Rupert is very enamored with KL.
He is. In fact, he is enamored with everybody.
he may have found a home with KL.
And you are both from the Animal Protection of Southeastern Massachusetts.
That's right.
And I also want to make sure that we're talking about Rupert. And Rupert, if you listen to the South Shore Morning News this morning at around 9:30, Rob Hackler gave the details about the one and only Rupert, the pet of the week, looking for a future home. And if you want to see a picture of Rupert, I believe that he is on our website, 959watd.com. We'll get more into Rupert in a moment, but an introduction to you two ladies. Kim K. We'll go yes. Kim K. and Kim H. We'll go with that. Tell us a little bit about yourself. My understanding is you are the Program and Development Coordinator.
I am, absolutely. And in fact, I'm a recent addition to the Animal Protection Center. We have been going strong since 2009, and one of the things that we are really sort of looking to do is grow and expand our program and our outreach in the community. It's always been part of our mission to do education and outreach, not only for our animals, but also for our schools and our community members. And so we're really sort of taking that to the next level with everything from reading programs for elementary school-aged kids to having volunteers come in and learn about the shelter and how we operate.
And what is your, Kim Heiss, What is your function at the shelter?
I am the shelter director, and I have been with the shelter since the organization started in 2009. Prior to that, I was with the MSPCA for a million years. And it's been wonderful watching the organization grow and helping it become more of a member of the community and getting more support. And with the recent addition of Kim Kay, I think we're really going to be able to spread our wings a little bit further and do more with the community.
Well, this is nice that we've peeled the onion a little bit more, a couple of more layers, because normally we speak with Chuck Giovannetti and Michelle McKenzie. Love them. They usually come on. Nice to be able to speak with both of you, get in a little bit deeper into the mission of the shelter, and get a chance to meet a fine animal like Rupert, a dog. But, you know, I guess the one thing I should ask is, how is the shelter doing these days?
We are doing really well, actually. In fact, we last year did 985 adoptions of cats, dogs, guinea pigs. I believe we even had a hedgehog at some point last year. So we are going gangbusters. We've done thousands of adoptions since 2009. We do partnerships with spay and neuter clinics, low-cost spay and neuter clinics. We do an annual rabies clinic. So really, there's a whole lot going on in addition to adoptions. We even have a fantastic agility course that happens. It's a 6 weeks long agility course from beginner all the way up to advanced for owners and their dogs.
You know, it's fun that we're here this evening. We are live from Campanelli Stadium in the City of Champions, Brockton, Massachusetts. And I think you guys have spent a lot of time on the concourse because it is bringing your pet to the park night. What are some of the things that you've seen or some of the people that you've spoke to or had a chance to share about the mission of the shelter?
Well, it's been great reaching out to people just passing by that didn't know we were there. We've met a couple of adopters here who've gotten pets from us.
Bonus.
A lot of kids have popped by, which has been wonderful, just to educate them a little bit that we're... but I think one of the struggles that we still face is that people don't know that we're still around. So being able to be here and being out in the community to let people know that we're here and we're here to help, whatever their animal issues might be, we can offer support.
Bob?
If someone were trying to get a hold of you, how do they go about that? Other than, you know, you're here this evening, you're handing out pamphlets. I know the work that you're doing is very valuable and it's very important. How would people go to get a hold of you? I know that there are a lot of people that want to adopt pets, but they have no clue. They'll go to a local vet, and unless they're directed to someone like you, they have no real way to get a hold of you. And there are a lot of people that want to adopt pets. It's become more and more opportunistic for people to get a pet. And so how would they go about it?
I think Rupert might want to answer that.
Rupert is trying to answer.
I think what Rupert is trying to say is that we are... He really wants to say... that we have a website, www.apcsm.org. You can visit our Facebook page, Animal Protection Center of Southeast Massachusetts, or you can always give us a call at 508-586-2053. We serve Norfolk, Suffolk, Bristol counties.
Plymouth
County.
And the shelter is also open Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday from 1 to 4, Thursdays from 1 to 6, and Saturdays and Sundays from 12 to 4. You don't need an appointment to stop by. You can always come in and visit. Even if you're not interested in adopting an animal, you're always welcome to just come by and visit because it's nice for the animals to get out and have visitors.
Now, while you were down there, did you see any interest on the concourse? Did people embraced it, or are people kind of just, you know, it's slow to embrace it? What have you noticed when you were down there?
I think people are loving it, especially the Bring Your Pet Night tonight at the Rocks. We're seeing a bunch of people who have brought their dogs.
Pocketbook dogs.
Super friendly. Oh, all sorts of dogs. We've seen border collies. We've seen cavaliers. We've seen young dogs and old dogs. And you know what? Everybody is super friendly, and it's wonderful. They're having a great time. I don't know if it's all the hot dogs down there or what.
What about Fluffy? What about no cats? You didn't see any cats?
We have a little kitten with us, named Little One.
All right, that's and that wasn't necessarily my segue, but if you want to take it, go.
So Little One came into us a couple weeks ago. A Good Samaritan found her under their porch. She has a severely broken leg. She's about 6 weeks old. So she's under the care of a vet right now, and she's. We're trying to save her leg, so we're splinting it for a few weeks and seeing if we can get it to start the healing process so we don't need to make a decision to amputate it. But we are in the process of raising money to help pay for her vet care because she needs to see the vet pretty much every week at this point for x-rays and bandage changes.
Well, that kind of leads right into my next question. If somebody were interested in donating, whether it be funds or food or help or... How would they go about doing that? Do you accept that type of program, so to speak?
We absolutely do. We have a PayPal donation button that is on our website. And also, Little One specifically, she has a GoFundMe page because in addition to raising money for our Life is Precious Fund, which pays for the medical care for all of the animals we bring in that have medical needs, we also are posting updates on sort of the adventures of Little One. So we have photos of her here at the Brockton Rocks game. She was part of our Pages with Pets program last week. And as she goes to the vet and as she starts to heal, we are sort of posting updates for what's going on with her. We also maintain both a wish list at the shelter, everything from litter to romaine lettuce for our guinea pigs and carrots for our bunnies. And to make it even easier, we have an Amazon Smile account for the Animal Protection Center. You can go right on from your home, click a couple of buttons, and something will be sent directly to the shelter to help the animals.
I guess I would throw out there, there's a big difference between what the Animal Protection Center of Southeastern Mass is compared to the MSPCA. Would it be accurate to say that there's a difference between the two? It's non-profit or it's... Okay.
Rupert's going to take that
one.
Yes. there certainly are similarities. I mean, the MSPCA was a nonprofit. It was a bigger organization.
Right.
So we're just running small grassroots. You know, it's still a nonprofit. We don't get any funding from any government. And we're relying on the support of the community.
How has that been? I mean, how is the support? And are you always looking to find ways for folks to donate and get involved?
Absolutely. The more support we have from the community, the better we can be. So we're always looking for donations from the public. And that's how we stay running is, you know, we put out a call for kitty litter and we get it. So the less money we have to spend on buying supplies like kitty litter or food, the more we can use our resources to help more animals.
Is that more of a call to the public, or do you have like an economic arm like the Friends of the Shelter or something like that?
We are very much sort of, we think of ourselves as the community's animal shelter. So when we originally were an MSPCA shelter, and in 2009, of course, I'm sure you remember, the economy had a little bit of trouble, and
yep.
the MSPCA had to make the difficult decision to close some of its shelters.
Aside, yep.
When it did step aside, there were members of the community, Brockton, Easton, even as far down as Cape Cod, who stepped up and said, you know what, let's pool our resources, pool our talent, and keep this shelter open. So right from then, we have been the community's shelter. And so a lot of what we do is really thanks to the passion of our volunteers, the passion of the animal lovers in and around our community. And so we're very proud of that, I think, that we have such close ties to everyone in the surrounding areas.
I know that there are regular fundraisers, and I think coming up, pause in the, and that's not like a hit the pause button, but pause.
Right, like Rupert's pause.
Yeah.
Absolutely, pause in the park. It's going to be September 16th, and it is a one-mile walk. It's going to be at the NRT Easton Sheep Pasture. It's a day-long celebration, really, full family-friendly, fur family and people family. We have a one-mile gentle trail walk. We have food. We have vendors. We have raffles. There's a DJ with music. It is sort of a festival celebration. And all of the proceeds go to the shelter.
Okay. And do you set a benchmark? What is it a matter of you hope for the best when you embark on the event?
It is one of our two large fundraisers.
Signature fundraiser?
One of our two signature fundraisers. We have a gala in the spring, and then we have Paws in the Park in the fall. Our sort of our goal for the fundraiser is, I think, $25,000. That we do gross for fundraising. That's through everything from day of ticket sales to the raffle to business and corporate sponsors that come out to support the event.
And again, we are speaking with Kim Kokatos and Kim Heiss, Kim Squared. And of course, they got a special guest. You heard about him this morning on the South Shore's Morning News with Rob Hakala. That is Rupert, who's looking for a forever home. And that leads me into the next set of questions, and that is adoption. Let's say a family is looking to add a pet to their family. What is the adoption process to make sure that if an animal, any animal, is adopted, that this is going to be something that has staying power? It's not something that's brought back in 3 weeks and gone, yeah, it's not working.
The biggest thing is we want everybody who lives in the home to come meet the animal, regardless of the animal, to make sure that it's going to be a good fit for everybody and that everybody's on board with what's involved in caring for this animal. And then we want to look at what their lifestyle is like, what their living arrangements are like. Again, all to make sure that this is going to be a forever pet rather than a three-week thing, and that it's not just an impulse decision, that they really done their research and that they're really committed to doing this. So we do the best that we can to sit down with everybody who comes in and the animal they're interested in to talk about behaviors that we're seeing, behaviors that we've seen, to make sure that they're on board with working with it and that it's going to be a good fit for everybody.
Yeah, it's definitely a process where we want to work with the family to find the best fit for the family. So, for example, in Rupert's case, Rupert is a younger dog. He's 2 years old. Mm-hmm. He's very active. He wants to run around. If a family came in and they said, oh, we saw a picture of Rupert. We have a small apartment. We have a baby.
Not conducive.
Yep. We might direct them to, we actually have a whole lot of dogs, and we do have some dogs that would be great for that family that lives in an apartment. But Rupert really would love to have a fenced-in yard. He would love to play ball with an older boy. I think he actually might want to go out and run the bases in a couple of minutes because he is just that kind of happy energy.
High energy, high motor type of an animal that wants and desires love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, if somebody, let's say you find the perfect match for a family, for Rupert to go and spend the rest of his days with this family, how expensive is it and what's entailed in it? Is it a matter of that he'll be all up to date with his shots and all his medical records? Again, the expense, basically.
Right. Well, Rupert comes fully loaded. He is a fully loaded premium dog package. He comes with all of his shots. He comes with his microchip. And, you know, he even does the occasional sit, stay, heel.
But wait, there's more.
For your one-time donation with Rupert's premium package and 20,000-mile warranty, he...
She should be in the car business, Kevin.
Yeah. What about the tread wear? No.
You can check the paws on that baby anytime.
Okay, well, she's good.
He is $450, and that covers all of his previous vet work. It covers all of his vaccines. It covers that microchip, all the previous training that he has had. Really, depending on the age of the dog, depending on what sort of the dog has had in terms of medical work and things, that price may change. But Rupert is a steal at $450.
I have a question, and I think that it might be this concern of people when they're looking to adopt. You touched on veterinarians, and you touched on Rupert and mm-hmm. shots and a microchip and everything. The veterinarian side of what you do, you must have to bring in veterinarians. They must be some volunteer vets. I know there's some of the nicest people that are veterinarians. They, you know, they really care about the animals. But when people adopt an animal, do they have any of that concern they have to worry about? Kind of like we would say in the car business, they've already kicked the tires. You guys have already checked out the animals that are going to be adopted?
So we do not have a vet on staff, and we don't have a vet that comes in. The staff is all trained to do basic exams and make sure there's nothing obviously wrong with the animal. Obviously, if there's something that's a little bit out of whack, we will contact our local vet and make that trip over there. And we go over everything with potential adopters as far as what we've done for vaccines, what things may pop up, you know, especially if it's an older animal. We can tell them, you know, look, this is what you may be dealing with in the future so that they can be prepared that this may be an expense they need to think about in the future. And we've had some people decide, you know what, we're not going to adopt this particular animal because of that, which is fine because we don't want them to take on something that they're going to end up regretting later. So we just are very honest about it.
It makes good sense. Mm-hmm. And I know that some people have those types of concerns when they're doing adoptions. Do we have an issue that's pre-existing, and Absolutely. Is it going to cost us a fortune? So it sounds like the both of you have the bases all covered as far as everybody's getting basically what they know they get.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, our purpose is to work with the families to find the right animal. And so, you know, part of that process is a lot of communication back and forth to make sure that, you know, the family knows exactly what they're getting in the dog, that everyone has met the dog, and that they're ready for everything, and there are no surprises down the road.
And again, you're hearing two folks from the Animal Protection Center of Southeastern Mass, Kim Kokotos and Kim Heiss, and they're here kind of giving a rundown in regards to adoption. You've heard a couple of times one of our other guests, Rupert, who is the Pet of the Week here on 959 WATD. You can check out his picture, his profile on 959WATD.com to find out more. If you're somebody looking for a loving pet, if you feel that, you know, you want somebody, of you want a pet that's going to, you know, you can live up to the challenge of Rupert, then you know what, then stop by. Or you know what, I believe that they can probably check out the website, your website, apcsm.org.
That's right, and we have birds, cats, dogs, chinchillas even. We have a pet for every family. That's right, we do.
As far as the hours of operation, I mean, be it where it's nonprofit, and I'm sure that there might be limitations on your hours, when are you normally open? When are the doors open? So folks wanted to stop by.
Tuesday and Friday from 1 to 4, Thursday from 1 to 6, and then Saturday and Sunday from 12 to 4.
Okay. And I know you know, I'm telling you, Rupert is a high-energy animal.
Oh, he is.
Absolutely.
He is a happy guy.
He's
lots of energy, lots of running.
Now, you know, we talked about a little one. Now, is little one also up for adoption as well?
Not yet. She's in a foster home. We're kind of awaiting just what her prognosis is going to be before we put her up for adoption officially.
Okay. And what about as far as like a cat? What's the difference between adopting a dog or somebody who wants a cat?
Cats, actually, most of our cats are indoor cats. They are going to be a little bit less maintenance. They do the litter box thing. Cats sometimes can be great in apartments. But again, we're going to work with that family because just like dogs, every cat is different and has its own personality. Also, there are some cats that are going to have a little bit more in terms of medical expenses. And so there might also be something like a bonded pair of cats, brother and sister cats that need to go together. I have a fabulous pair of brother and sister cats that hang out in my office, Addie and Ralphie. They're beautiful Maine Coons, you know. So
you're right. She could work for you, you know.
There's not even a question in my mind.
You could take this car right here. You're getting a free oil change every 6,000 miles. No.
You can't have her.
You know the amazing part? People don't understand this. I have a rabbit at home.
Mm-hmm.
And the rabbit is litter box trained.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right, yes.
It's just crazy. I didn't believe it. Yeah. My daughter wanted it. I agreed to it. It's litter box trained. I can't believe it. I wish my daughter would change it more than I do. But
anything we haven't asked you ladies, we just got a couple of moments left here. We're going to have to wrap up the program. But anything you want to mention while we have you here about the shelter and what you offer?
I would love to put in a plug for our Pages with Pets program. It's one of the new programs that we've started. It's geared toward elementary school age children and their families. So to give you an example, we do a different pet each Saturday for the month of July. This past Saturday, feeding cats. So we had about 25 kids in. Our partners are the Whitman Public Library and the Holbrook Library. So we did a half an hour education on what it's like to have a cat for a pet, on reading cat body language. And the librarians, they brought in Steph and Kat, our librarians. Hi, if you're out there. They brought in all cat-themed books. And so the kids came, they chose the books, and then we opened up our cat lounge, and we brought in our friendliest, happiest cats, and the cats circulated through. They sat on the blankets with the children. The children read to them, and so they got to practice their reading at the same time as they were socializing and interacting with our cats.
So a heads up, Andrea Round, who is the director of the Whitman Public Library. So.
Oh, well, fantastic job by everybody.
It's some great folks there. We want to thank both of you for coming in, and you do realize that now you're going to have to probably come in before your event, the Paws in the Park, and promote it. I will give you a good grade for your members of your board of directors. I believe that's what Chuck and Michelle are.
We do.
Right
we have
there.
Some yes. of the most passionate volunteers yes. out there.
And that's fantastic. What if somebody wants to volunteer? Do you also accept volunteers too?
Oh, absolutely. We accept volunteers. We accept fosters. We have a volunteer application. It's a process of, you can go on our website at www.apcsm.org. And whatever your passion is, whether you have a passion for training animals or mopping floors, we can match you up.
Excellent. Ladies, thank you so much. Don't go away. I got to get a picture of you before you walk out of here. Bob, I want to thank you for joining us here on Monday night. And also, I get our silent broadcaster, Paul Watson, who entered, and we've had some great help from the Brockton Rock staff, from Todd. We had Keeney. We had Alan, who's popped in and gave us the score sheets. A great job done by all here at Campanelli Stadium in Brockton.
Well, Kevin, you always do a great job yourself here for WATD. So,
now, folks, if you've missed any of the segments that we had this evening, it'll be up via podcast probably in the next 24 to 48 hours. So, again, it's that show that keeps giving. And be sure to check out our website for the latest podcast from Monday Night Talk. And also, don't forget, as I've mentioned during the segment a number of times, the Pet of the Week. It's Rupert, who is here in person. You've heard him. He spoke a few times during the radio segment with the two Kims. There's a picture up on our, I think it's on the homepage of 959WATD.com. That is correct. And again, as the ladies had mentioned, if you want to find out more about the Animal Center of Southeastern Mass, it's www.apcsm.org. And I think that's roughly all the time that we have, but I want to make sure I thank Larry Nelson for doing an awesome job engineering what we're doing here at the stadium. And, of course, we got Ryan, who is on the board. Thank you so much, Ryan, for pushing the buttons and getting us in and out. Until next week at 6:15 p.m., have yourself a great evening.